Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 25th of June 2020, Thursday class. So we will be continuing with the Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 117, part 2 of lesson 22. So as usual, relax body and mind completely, then allow the mind to settle down. Maintain awareness, just be aware, don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just maintain awareness. Realize that true mind, that silent mind, understand what that nature is. From there, observe. From there, develop the understanding. That is what meditation is all about. Meditation is just to develop the stability of your silent mind, to be aware. When you are silent without thought, you are naturally aware. So don't try to do anything. When you try to do anything, it is the thought that is actively doing. So if the thought is active, you can never be aware. Have this important understanding, then you can meditate. That's why the first two support very important. Relax, aware, finish. After that, maintain the awareness for as long as you can, if possible, throughout the day. When you are aware, you are heedful. When you are not aware, you are lost in thought. Because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silently, attentively developing the observation or awareness to understand things, or you are thinking, lost in thought, heedless, preoccupied with what you are thinking, reacting to sense experience. Every time you do that, you are no longer in the meditative state. You are no longer aware, silent. So with this understanding, meditation becomes very simple. For those who have the spiritual faculty, high spiritual faculty developed, very easy to meditate. You have the five spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. You are in the meditative state all the time. All these five spiritual faculty are very unique spiritual mind state that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. And they are always just in Sati. The rest are supportive spiritual faculties. Sada is a calm and composed mind with the faith, with the understanding. And Virya is the tenacity, spiritual tenacity to cultivate. Yeah, it knows the importance of this cultivation. It sees the beauty in this teaching. So you want to develop it. So Sada Virya will drive you to cultivate Sati, which is the silent mind, the meditative mind that you need to understand spiritual teaching, to awaken to insight into phenomena. That's why all of meditation center on training the mind to be aware. When you understand, it can be done very easily. Otherwise, you will need the usual skillful means, which can be any method or technique or object of meditation. But they are just an initial skillful means to train your mind, to anchor your mind, so that you can train it and use it to develop mindfulness. But if you have the spiritual faculty, you don't need to do all this. Technically, you can just relax, silent, maintain awareness, and you are in a meditative state. That's the reason why the real meditation is very simple. Okay? So with this, you go off the light, then I will allow you to have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed. These are the meditative state that you need for developing the daily mindfulness. Ultimately, it is the daily mindfulness that is most important. The real meditation comes from daily mindfulness. So, formal meditation is to develop the training of the mind to be aware and stabilize it so that it is ever mindful and relax, maintain awareness until the mind enters the deep. When mind enters the deep, everything you do is in the deep. That is the beginning of heedfulness. Then after you have developed that, when your daily mindfulness become very stable, your formal meditation will become very easy. It's like at any one time, you just silent, whether sitting or lying down or any posture, or while waiting for someone, sitting in a bus, in a train, or as a passenger in any transportation, you can just meditate. Where it is in the meditative state straight away. When there is the five spiritual faculty developed, the mental hindrance cannot arise, because the five spiritual faculty counter the five mental hindrance. You should try it in order to develop the understanding. Then after that, your mind becomes very different. Throughout the day, you are aware, mindful, relaxed, peaceful, having clarity. So the meditative mind has a lot of clarity. The meditative mind is always peaceful, aware. Understanding will arise, then there will be joy, there will be love, compassion, beautiful mind states. Then it will understand many things on its own. But that is the meditative mind, the silent mind. So formal meditation training to develop heedfulness until mind enters the deep is stage one. Stage two is after you have stabilized everything, after you have developed the daily mindfulness, after your mind is most of the time the meditative state. And when you sit again or when you lie down in the formal meditation, you just relax, maintain awareness, stay at the heart area, slightly to the left, then let things be. Then that nature, which is the awareness nature within, your silent mind can detect it. And when it detects, just trust that nature to do the meditation. Don't try to interfere the thought. Don't try to direct or do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness, and let it be. And when the gateway is located, all of the yin yang energy that you have within your body, they will start to melt inside, flow in. And when that thing happens, the meditator or the cultivator, the formal mind that goes through it will understand. He will know what that thing is because the awareness is very clear. Then he will understand what is going on and how it transforms into pure energy, and how that nature do the meditation by itself from inside, from within. We will now continue from where we stop. Turn to page 117, part 2, lesson 22 of our Heart Sutta, second edition. The title is Anatta. So Anatta means the non-self nature or empty nature of existence. Anatta or non-self nature is also emptiness, if you understand. If one realizes anatta, or penetrate the understanding of true emptiness, then one can also become enlightened. Once awakened to true emptiness, then one will understand why the Heart Sutta say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Also, the other aspect of form is emptiness, emptiness is form. You will also understand. When thinking, you listen to this so that you understand what meditation is. In the midst of life, you have to be mindful, aware. Whenever you are thinking, when thinking, you find out whether this is true or not. One is clouded by what one thinks. But you can only doing, you can only do one thing at a time. If you are thinking, lost in thought, means that thinking distracts you. And you are clouded by what you think, preoccupied by what you think. Then how can you be aware? You can't. Hence, no clarity to understand what is happening within the moment to awaken to the truth. As man can only do one thing at a time, that is either one is aware and silent within, means heedful, or you are lost in thought, heedless, hence heedless. Living beings are most of the time preoccupied with what they think, plus all their mind's reaction to sense experience, to the three evil roots that they create within their thought process, via their like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, feelings and emotions that arise upon contact of mind within every moment of sense experience. So see this clearly when you are living life. When you are mindful, aware, you will be able to understand all this. Then you see the mundane mind, they continuously arise. Proliferation of thought is like unending for normal puttajana. The heedless living being who don't have the sati or mindfulness or heedfulness, who don't cultivate, who don't understand the teaching, they are most of the time lost in thought, heedless. They think a lot. That's the reason why they hardly have even a single moment of peace or silence without thought. They like very difficult to achieve that mind state. You tell them not to think, they can't. Because to them it's like impossible. How can you be without thought? Every moment, every instant, they are thinking. They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. And that arises because mental hindrances are there, continuously create this type of sankhara activity. Because there is ignorance, avijja paccaya sankhara, this chain, this link, continuously arises. That's the reason why my teacher Achanyantra say normal human being think a lot. So when I was young in form 6, I remember I told you all before I wrote that essay. Human being is a creature of thought. That time I already can see. I already know human being think a lot. And human being is a gregarious thing, means you need companionship to live life. They cannot be alone. They find it very difficult to be alone because they don't know how to silence the mind to be in a meditative state. They don't know how to develop the ability to reflect, to contemplate, to understand, unless some of these people who are creative in nature, then they can reflect, contemplate moments That's how they become very creative and they become talented. They can come up with beautiful music, song, and all those things, which under normal circumstances they can't. It's because their mind is in the creative state that enable them to contemplate, reflect, inquire, and develop the beautiful understanding. That's how talents are developed, skills are developed. You become like very special, very talented. Okay, I read on, maybe you understand better. In the Diamond Sutta, it is said, the mind must have no dwelling. Huining understood this stanza when he heard it, because Huining's mind is the true mind. Reason why he was able to see things as they are via the silent mind without thought, as he was born without the mundane mind. If you create via thought, then there is good and bad for you to dwell on. So duality will arise because thought divide via words and concept, like gender. When there is gender, you have male and female. Race, then you have all the various style races. Even religion is the same. Then nationality is the same. Right and wrong, good and bad, division, etc. Non-duality is the doctrine of true emptiness. With wisdom, you can see things as they are and can accept everything that happens as natural or the way things are. Hence, transcending all duality that leads to reaction of mind. Knowing via thought is knowledge. Always remember this. Whereas awakening via the silent mind without thought is enlightenment, which is an understanding. And understanding is not rigid because it is not a knowledge. So understanding is not right and wrong, good and bad. No. These are relative truth or conventional truth. These are not ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is very simple. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things be like that. So no right, no wrong. Where right and wrong is conventional truth. Right according to who? You never inquire. When you inquire, then there is no right, no wrong. They are just the way they are. Thing is just the way it is. So everything is suchness, the reality. Within that moment, things will unfold in accordance with the nature's law. Condition already set. That's how that it will evolve and flow. It cannot be otherwise. Everything in this universe is the same. So when you can see all this, understand all this, you develop genuine wisdom, then you can transcend all duality. There is no need for thinking. But within the conditioned world, people use duality because duality, like Dhamma, exists within the conditioned world. But when it is within the unconditioned, there is no need for duality. So it's like Dhamma. Within the conditioned world, there is old age, sickness and death, vulnerable truth, human being, living beings, law, karma, everything. But within the unconditioned, when you realize the unconditioned, then you realize all this conditioned Dhamma don't exist within the unconditioned. That's why within the unconditioned, everything is anatta, non-self, empty. That's why no one born, no one sick, no one old, no one die, no one attain, then there is no suffering, cause of arising of suffering, cessation, and the path that leads to the cessation of suffering means no Dhamma, no Four Noble Truths, nothing. It's stated clearly in the Heart Sutta. There is no contradiction. Some who don't understand, they say, this Mahayana teaching funny. Everything they teach is opposite. Especially the Heart Sutta, for those who don't understand. If you are from the Theravada tradition, you don't have the real penetrative awakening or understanding, then you may think, what is going on? How can form be emptiness, and emptiness be form? Then how come the Heart Sutta say in true emptiness, there is no Dhamma, there is no birth, old age, sickness, and death, no one to attain and all those things. That's why they become very confused. Everything like very strange, very weird. But they use the thought process. They use the mundane mind, which has duality. So duality, always remember, pertain to the mundane mind, to the conditioned world. Within the conditioned world, there is duality. There is also the law of karma. There is also human being, living being, form and mind. So all this, you must understand clearly so that you are not confused. Then you can live in the conditioned world with the unconditioned Dhamma wisdom to liberate your mind, to stand above all duality, to develop the awakening, the enlightenment. Then you can understand life beautifully. Then you can live life wonderfully to the fullest. That's the reason why the Heart Sutta says true emptiness is wonderful existence. 真空妙有. In fact, when you develop the real wisdom, you will understand. Okay, I will continue to read on. Okay, I will read further up a bit. Knowing via thought is knowledge. This one, by now, I think most of you understand. Whereas awakening via the silent mind without thought is the third turning wisdom, the direction is enlightenment, which is an understanding. And understanding is not rigid because it's not a knowledge. Because when you insight into phenomena, into the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, your nature just awaken. It just understand. The awakening just unfold. That's why it's not a knowledge. No mind is involved, no thought is involved. It's just silent, that nature awaken. Then the direct seeing also, without thought, the silent mind just see and understand. That's why it's an awakening. It's not a knowledge. It's not something you use thought to reflect and contemplate and become a knowledge. No, none of all this. No right and no wrong, because everything is just the way it is. True suchness. Or tatata. Dhammapada verse 183 states that all evil is to be avoided, do good, and purify the mind. And this is the advice of all Buddhas, which all Buddhists must at least follow, to be worthy of the Buddha's name, or to be a true devotee of the Buddha. You must at least heed his teaching. If you don't follow his advice, then how can you call yourself a Buddhist? How can you call yourself a disciple of the Buddha, a devotee of the Buddha? At least, the least you must do is follow his advice. Then you can really become a true Buddhist. A true devotee or true disciple of the Buddha, cultivator. To purify the mind, one must develop the enlightenment factor of equanimity and samadhi. To see things as they are, then with wisdom, one will come to understand that things are just the way they are, and there will be no good and evil, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. In meditation. No right, no wrong, because deluded people will say deluded things. Angry people will say angry things. So accept them for what they are, perceiving them with equanimity. When you perceive a life situation with negativity or without equanimity, you will suffer because you will react and your mind will stir to bring about suffering to all, including yourself. The Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. An external form arises through consciousness. So do wake up to this reality via the pure awareness to see clearly that mind is a forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when mind arises. So this is very powerful. But you need to have a lot of wisdom and understanding to awaken to this. Because not until your first and second term wisdom stabilize, you cannot awaken to this understanding. But this understanding comes from awakening or realization. If you have not gone through, you cannot understand all this. Even the ability to understand in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see, it's very profound. Unless you can completely silence your mind, then observe, don't do anything, no word, nothing, observe. Then you will understand. Because when you are silent, aware in a meditative state, to be aware, there is no word, no thought, nothing. Before the perception, it's just an awareness of that thing. So like the physics experiment, you on the switch, what happened? The light bulb lights up in it. The lighting up is like the mind become conscious of that sense door activity. If it's in the seeing, you become conscious. The consciousness just arises. So the awareness that is aware of that thing is before the mundane mind arises, before the egoic mind, the thinking mind arises, before you input the content of consciousness through your views, opinion, and conditioning, your memory. That's the reason why you cannot act according to memory unless you have wisdom connected to it. Otherwise, acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because when you are mindful and aware and observant, you can see clearly what is memory. Memories are the accumulation of all your life experiences, good and bad. And what do you accumulate inside your brain? You check. Most of the time, it's all your problem, but sometimes, certain time your happy moments too. But very rare, most human don't have much of that. But the unhappy moment, yes, you have a lot. Your scars of memory, your anger, your hatred, your sorrow, your lamentation, your envy, your jealousy, your deep resentment, whatever that you do not like. All this, even when you feel fearful, when you are insecure, when you have life problems, first noble truth reality related life problem and issue, all your mind states become very negative because of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and you accumulate all this into your brain. Then it includes your views, your opinion, your religious belief system, your conditioning, your tradition, whatever that influenced you from your birth until your upbringing. At birth, your parents, your race, your tradition, your belief system, they condition you, they mold you. Then as you grow up, the person who give you the education, the upbringing together with you, provide for you, they have influence over you. So all this great condition in you, then what you experience as you go through life, you also accumulate. Yeah. And most of the time, if your karma is no good, you accumulate a lot of your suffering, your misery, your karmic friction. That's how normal human beings' brain memory accumulated. They are really, really, very, very negative. I call it hell. My last teacher also, he pointed to the forehead there. He said, don't go there. If you go there before you are enlightened, that is hell. That's why when your consciousness stay at the forehead, you are experiencing hell. But it is at your heart area. That is where your conscience is. That is where your awareness is. That is where your nature is. Then you become beautiful. You are always in the beautiful mind states. Yeah. If you don't want to experience hell, develop this awareness more and more to see all this clearly. Then when you can start to understand how you function as a human being, how the accumulated memory and the brain condition you into negativity or mind state, because before you are enlightened, you have a lot of wrong view. Wrong view condition wrong thought, and wrong thought condition wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. That's how you have wrong view. The whole Noble Eightfold Path collapse. Then how can you live life? Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It is the one that leads you to enlightenment. It is the path that leads to the end of all suffering. So without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot act. That's why you must act instead with wisdom, with understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. After seeing all this, the danger of memory, views, opinion, and conditioning, belief system, and all, saying all your wrong view, that condition your wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. Then you decide to change your way of living life. You decide to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. With that understanding, you straighten your view. When you straighten your view, you act according to wisdom, to right view, to right understanding. And when you act according to wisdom, right view, right understanding, you will be able to follow Noble Eightfold Path. But Noble Eightfold Path is all about right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. So all these are very, very clear. So when you understand, you will go all out to cultivate it, to develop it. That's how you transform. That's how you awaken and become Aryas. So this understanding is very important. When you are mindful, aware, when you see all this, then you can understand what the Buddha is trying to teach. So I go back to this sentence again. Hopefully by now you understand. So in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. And there is no one to see. Because I already explained. The awareness without thought, without words, without concept, the direct seeing. No word, no concept, no labeling, nothing. It's seeing as they are. That's why it's just that consciousness, seeing consciousness, where you haven't input the content of consciousness. There is no egoic mind yet. Views, opinion, and conditioning hasn't gone in yet. You haven't even perceived anything. That is the reality. That is the pure direct seeing. That's like the enlightened ones sitting as they are, without words, without concept. But don't try to act that way, because you can never do it. A lot of people become so gullible after they heard my explanation. Then they think they can go and practice direct seeing. How can you practice direct seeing? You don't have sati, mindfulness, develop and stabilize. You can never develop direct seeing. You can never see things as they are. But this one needs the training of that mind to be in that state, the meditative state, the silent mind, the awareness nature. Unless you are in that state, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot awaken. The direct seeing is impossible. So don't try to behave and act to believe that you are already enlightened. You can never do that. Don't try to like recall what I say. If Pratio say, the direct seeing is sitting as they are. No? Oh, I don't want to perceive. I don't want to know. I tell you, you do that, you are creating your own confusion and hell. Because it's the thought telling you, I don't want to perceive, I don't want to know. But all those things are from the thought. And what is thought? Memory. Respond to memory. And all those things that you say are the thought. And when thought is active, how can you be silent? How can you be in the state of sati or awareness? Understand that. Don't be foolish. Don't be gullible. So silence your mind and train until it's very stable. Then you will understand all this. Then you can really awaken, and not difficult. This life, this condition, it is fairly easy. So now I read again. Hopefully by now, most of you can understand. The Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. An external form arises through consciousness. So by now, you have the direct seeing, you will know. Because whatever outside of you, you have to perceive it to have the understanding of what that thing. So the external form, be it the Buddha image, or the table, or my voice, or whatever that you come to perceive, these are the external form. You have to perceive it through memory. That's how it arises. So you have to see this very clearly. All external forms arise through consciousness. Mental perception. When the consciousness arises, you perceive it. That's how the form enters the mind. See this clearly. So that you will wake up to this reality via the pure awareness to see clearly that mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Without the mundane mind coming out to perceive and do all these things, there is no knowing. Who are you? What are you? You are nothing. But the moment the mundane mind arises, it's like real, like you exist. I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel and think. How does the egoic personality arise? Because of sakadity, self-delusion. At the moment of sense experience, through memory, through conditioning, through views, opinion, you reacted. It's wrong view. Self-delusion, sakadity. See that clearly. Then you will understand Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. And the Buddha always start Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the twin verse, the opening verse of Dhammapada verses 423. This first two, one pair, is very important. The Buddha always say, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Then when we understand that, we can reverse all this mental creation. We are returning all external mental creation to my consciousness. Then my consciousness to the pure awareness. And then pure awareness back to the great void, which is emptiness. We are realizing the situation of my mind. Then you return to your source, the oneness nature, or they call it realization of Nibbana. But Nibbana is unconditioned. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. The word that is used to describe is not the real Nibbana. The real Nibbana is just cessation of form and mind. Everything ceases. Is the unconditioned. So this understanding is very important. When you understand how you arise, how from that nature, the first to arise is the pure awareness, yourself, or your true nature, which is the awareness nature. It's just aware, it's just a nature, it's not a being. That one cannot come out and live, but that one can be aware. That's it, finish. Then from there, it has the power to create the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the dependent originating mind, conditioned arising mind. That's what mano is. That is the one that the Buddha referred to. Mind is forerunner of all things. That is the mundane mind. So you fall when the mundane mind arises, because that is the one that creates forerunner of all things. So when mind arises, all things arise, and mind is chief. So this is the greatest creative mind, creative nature. So from there, all of existence, all of the conditioned world's manifestation, they manifest. The phenomenal world of consciousness, they arise, then they translate into the various arising. From consciousness, form takes shape. That's why you have the planets, the stars, the world system, everything. And Einstein is able to relate form and energy. They are actually interconvertible. So everything within the universe is just consciousness in a state of flux. So consciousness is energy. So form is trapped energy. That's why E energy equals to mass mc squared, square of the speed of light. Speed of light is a very big number. Square of it is even more massive and big. So mc squared means this trapped energy can be very, very potent. That's how nuclear bomb, atomic bomb, and all the various type of devastative weapon can be developed through this understanding. Scientists understand they created the critical mass that needs to trigger off that nuclear reaction, because after that is beyond control, beyond control. That's why they call it the critical mass that can create the enough of this nuclear reaction for it to continue until it become like out of control. Then they will release it out. So all this is part of nature's law, scientific law, means physical law of nature. And then they also, of course, have the biological order of nature. So all these are comprehensible, as taught by the Buddha too. But the Buddha emphasized mainly the spiritual law, law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth. That's how we have karma niyama, citta niyama, then Dhamma Niyama. So with that, we can actually move on to the next paragraph. If all phenomena, If all phenomena can be returned to mind consciousness, We have to go back one sentence before that. Okay, I will read up there a bit. Then when we understand that we can, after we have understood all those things, how we create, then we can reverse all this mental creation. We are returning all external mental form to mind consciousness. So the external mental form, the phenomenal world of form, can be returned to mind consciousness. Then from mind consciousness, you can return to the pure awareness. Before the wrong view goes in, before the content of consciousness goes in. Then from the pure awareness, back to the great void, the unconditioned, which is the realization of Nibbana, the cessation of form and mind. Then you return to your original nature, or true nature, or oneness nature, or they call it Nibbana, Nibbana. So all this become very clear, which is Nibbana. Then we would have understood the whole mystery of nature's creation. This is how the whole thing can be understood. You can comprehend it. Where it's just the various stages of creation. How from the source, each and every being come out. And the first thing to come out is the pure awareness, the awareness nature. And that one, you need a form and mind, karmically conditioned vehicle and tool to come for you to have that. But to realize that is meditation. That's why a lot of cultivators don't understand that. They thought meditation is to use the thought to meditate. That's why they cannot do it. These are all thought-based meditation that can never lead to awakening. The real meditation is you must realize the first stage of cultivation called no thought. Wunian under Hui Ning's teaching. When you are without thought, you are aware. The awareness nature manifests, shine forth. That's why you have to silence your mind, maintain awareness to realize that. Then with that, you can be mindful, you can be aware, you can be heedful, you can meditate. That's why all meditations start from there. Hui Ning take you direct to that no-thought stage so that you don't have to waste your time doing thought-based meditation. So the three hallmarks of Hui Ning is related. The first hallmark is to realize no-thought, wu-nian. Then wu-xiang, no-mark. Then after that, no-dwelling, wu-zhu. So these three are not easy. Most people can only do the first hallmark. They realize no thought. And to a lot of these thought-based cultivators, they hardly have any chance to realize that. Only a very, very small percentage finally has a glimpse of it. And when they have a glimpse of it, they still don't know what that thing is. So, unless you go the Bodhisattva way, you will not dwell deep into it. But if you take the Bodhisattva way and probe further, cultivate, continue, then that no thought stage, which is your self nature, your true nature, your awareness nature, that nature, they will stabilize it until they understand that thing very clearly. Then from there, when they meditate, the meditation becomes very different. This is from the awareness. awareness-based meditation. That's how they will be able to awaken to all those Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Then they will go through the various stages of sainthood leading to arahantship. Then at arahantship, they haven't really penetrated deep into the no-thought stage. They have developed the ability to awaken, means no more avijja, no more delusion, no more ignorance. That's why they don't have any more ignorant to condition rebirth consciousness at the moment of death. So for the arahan, at least, the birth and death of the segmented life is no more. Upon parinibbana, it will end. Everything will end. But for those who go the bodhisattva way, this one will take longer. Then their cultivation will be more intense. They go into it deeper, more depth. Then they understand that nature very, very differently. Then from there, they will have the ability to awaken, not only to the anatta nature. There is what we then call the second stage, homa, of homa. They will come to understand there is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living beings, then no mark of life, existence, and Dhamma. All these are marks created by the mundane mind. So when you can see all this, awaken to all this, then you can develop the wisdom to go beyond all marks. That's why the second hallmark is no mark. The three stages of no mark. First, no mark of a self cultivating, then no mark of living beings. If you penetrate the first and second, you become very, very exceptional. You are very wise. Then you will not cling, you will not hold. You know all these are not real, not what you think. Then finally, your mundane mind must collapse for you to realize no dwelling. Then after that, you can live life as an enlightened being without the mundane mind like Hui Ning. And the mind doesn't dwell. It's always in the state of specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. It's just that nature manifests. That's how the whole 10 stages of Bodhisattva way cultivation can accumulate into. Then when you reach the third hallmark, you become great beings. You are already very advanced in your cultivation. You have reached at least the 8th crown of the Bodhisattva way. The total way has 10 crowns. Then when you can realize no dwelling, you are at least at the 8th crown. So all this, the Mahayana, they have it in their sutta, their teaching. If you read the Surangama Sutta, it's also stated there. Then the Surangama Sutta also mentioned the 50 deviant samadhi. And it also explained the 10 ground of the Bodhisattva way. So all this in the Mahayana Sutta. Okay, I will read on, then you will understand. If all phenomena can be returned to mind consciousness, then to pure awareness, and then finally back to true emptiness, it means they are all not so real. They are all created by mind, which is the mundane mind, their consciousness. And mind make are they. Hence the phenomenal world of consciousness, and they are all really empty. When you can understand this, I sadhu you, means you already awakened. This is very beautiful. Beyond mind, there is no creation and no suffering. There is without mind, there is no form, no perception, no feeling, no sankhara, has no karma and no creation via mental consciousness. Cognition via mental consciousness, cognition via mental perception is all mind-made. Hence, phenomena and perception are all linked. They are all impermanent, leading to suffering and anatta, or empty nature. So all these are connected. Eh? We have already gone through what is a phenomenon. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. Whatever that mind can perceive is a phenomenon. That's how perception and phenomena, they are related, they are connected. So all created by mind via consciousness and mind being are they. So this one, when you can have the understanding, you become beautiful. And because they are all dependent, originating, condition arising, mind make a day, and what is the mundane mind? It's about consciousness. It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness, not so real, not what you think. That's why no reality at all. Just form a mind, arise and pass away, arise and pass away. Dependent, originating, mighty nature rolling by. He no you, he no me. Nothing exists. That's why it's empty. Anatta, non-self. No reality. Yeah. But there is such thing as life. Yeah. Because within the conditioned world, there is such thing as life. For my mind, law, karma, all those things. So, it is really not so straightforward, but it is very beautiful. When you understand, you will become completely transformed, very different. And you will understand how beautiful this teaching is. The unconditioned condition. You have the real and the unreal. When you say it's real, it's not really real. Yeah, these are all duality. They are just the way they are. That's why in ultimate wisdom and understanding, you can come to terms with the reality within existence, within the conditioned world. The conditioned world has duality, has Dhamma, has everything. All the concept, the words, the idea. But because you have awakened, you are not deluded or deceived by them. They have no power over you. So you can live within the conditioned world. You can experience everything. You can go through everything, and yet you are not deluded by it. So the understanding can be so beautiful, so powerful, so meaningful. There's a uniqueness of the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching. It is not mystical. People who don't understand think that it's very mystical. that is very abstract, so difficult to understand. They like contradicting each other all the time, everywhere. No, it's the way you understand it. When you understand it, it doesn't contradict. Well, one refers to the unconditioned, the other one refers to the conditioned. And both the conditioned and the unconditioned, they have different set of rules or truth. That's why within the conditioned world, there is the conditioned Dhamma that you have to awaken to. Then within the unconditioned, there's the unconditioned Dhamma that you have to awaken to. Then you have to understand deeply, who are you, what are you? Your nature belongs to the unconditioned. But your mundane mind belongs to the conditioned world. That's how you find it very difficult to comprehend and understand. But for those who have gone through the cultivation, there is no difference. They are just beautiful. Both sides also appropriately taught correctly taught. There is no like contradiction or distortion of the teaching. No. So we will read on. Hopefully you can understand. The pure awareness before knowing, or the essence of mind which can be aware of the silence of nature, is not a condition, it is a phenomenon. Hence it is the unconditioned and also your true mind, but it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, where it cannot come out to live life. So this sentence is very profound. Not until you have awakened, you cannot understand. Not easy. Maybe for those who have some form of awakening, they can maybe reflect, contemplate, and develop some form of understanding. But the true understanding, the complete understanding, is not easy. You must have the awakening, the third turning awakening. So I try my best to explain to you. The pure awareness before the knowing, before the words, the concept, the perception, that is your true mind. That is your essence of mind, your awareness nature, which can be aware of the silence of nature. You know what is silence of nature, isn't it? You have perceived it before, isn't it? That silence, especially middle of the night. All of a sudden, the phenomenal within nature, like the vibration from the car, the traffic, or all the disturbances during the day, the chattering, the noise, the vibration, all of a sudden, middle of the night, suddenly cease. Then you can hear that silence, or you can perceive that silence. Because when it comes to silence, there is no hearing consciousness, isn't it? Where there is no sense data, no vibration, nothing. And a good way to experience this is when you have a fan that is running very loud, suddenly you off the fan. You can perceive the difference. Then I have a desktop computer, which I upgraded from Windows 7 to Windows 10. That one very noisy, but it has served me for more than 10 over years, and it's very good. And that one, every time I on, the vibration will start, and the program will run. Then, when I finish using that desktop computer in my room, the moment I off it, I can perceive the whole vibration gone, or like the whole environment still quiet. So it to perceive the silence of nature, that one is the unconditioned, the awareness nature. Without sense data, it can perceive it, it can be aware of it. So the question is, without sense data, there is no hearing consciousness, isn't it? Then what is that thing? It's not the mundane mind perceive. No? The mundane mind perceive needs sense data. There's a sound, music, vibration, you need sense data. But without sense data, what is that thing inside you that is able to be aware of that silence of nature? That is your awareness nature, your essence of mind. That is the one that can actually be aware. Finish. After that, you continue is the thought. So this awareness nature is very beautiful. That is what meditation is. So this pure awareness before the knowing is your essence of mind, your awareness nature. Realize it, awaken to it. That's why silence your mind, maintain awareness, and realize that true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then use that one to to observe silently, to develop the understanding, the awakening. It is only that pure awareness, the meditative silent mind, the self-awareness nature, that can awaken and understand, not the thought. So when you understand that, then on you will understand clearly. The pure awareness before the knowing or essence of mind, which can be the aware of the silence of nature, is not a condition arising phenomenon. Hence, it is the unconditioned. That's why I call it the essence of mind, and also your true mind. But it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. You know why? Even though it's the unconditioned, there is not a being. It cannot come out to live life. That's why it is not self. In the Pali term, during the Buddha's time, they got three type of description for the entity or personality. They got this word atta. Atta means self. Self means you control over it. It will listen to you. It will not tend towards suffering. You ask him to forever don't die, don't get old, don't get sick, because it's self. That's why it will listen to you. But as we have observed this form and mind, it goes the way of nature. It does not listen to you. That's why it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can say is me, is I. That's why it's not atta. Then it's also not attaniya, totally nothingness, no self. No self means the direct opposite of self. Don't have that permanent unchanging entity. There is nothing. That's the reason why the Buddha introduced anatta. Anatta is the most beautiful understanding that the Sammasambuddha had awakened to. He said, there is something. It's not totally nothing. It's neither self or no self. So neither atta or attaniya. The actual description is anatta, in between. There is something which he called the form and mind, the living being. But that one is not a self. Not a self. That's why it's non-self, not a self. But that one exists. Human being exists. Living being exists. Form and mind exists. But it is not self. He is also not no self, but it is in between non-self. That's why it's not self, non-self. So this concept is very beautiful. Non-self means not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Yeah. But this one, the form and mind, the human being, the living being, even though it's non-self, but it has something to do with your karmic nature. Because this one is a vehicle and a tool karmically conditioned out from your karmic nature for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to go through life, to experience whatever you need to. And to maybe pay back your karma and all those things. Then you also can use it to fulfill whatever vows or aspiration that you have. And this one is within the conditioned world. The conditioned world has this law of karma that can condition the form and mind, the vehicle and the tool for each and every individual beings to arise. So that understanding is very important. So anatta means that thing exists, but it's not a permanent self. It's non-self. And this one, the Buddha say, is subject to karma. This is the one that the Buddha described. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So understand that the form and mind is subject to karma. That's why the enlightened being will know. They will have this right duty with regards to this form and mind. They will not simply allow it to do the wrong thing. They will not simply act and do things. Because this form and mind, even though it's impermanent, unreal, not you, it has its very important role to play in life. Because if you don't take care of karma, this form and mind, through the law of karma, will suffer, will become afflicted, miserable. So through this understanding, you will have this responsibility of right duty, or right responsibility, is the noble disciple of the Buddha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So of dutiful conduct, you will do your duty. You will not simply do things. That's what the salutation of the Sangha is all about. There are four great qualities of enlightened being. They have the right understanding to arise the right conduct. Of right conduct is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Of upright conduct is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the third one is of wise conduct. Then the last one is of dutiful conduct. You understand the form and mind has its duty. It cannot simply do things. It cannot be heedless. It cannot be deluded. There must be no sakkayaditi, self-delusion. So all this understanding, when you have that, you become beautiful. Okay? So we shall finish off this part. The pure awareness before the knowing or essence of mind, which can be aware of the silence of nature, is not a conditioned arising phenomenon. Hence, it is the unconditioned and also your true mind or essence of mind. But it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call me and the I, because it cannot come out to live life. So this one I have gone through. Whereas the mundane conditioned arising mind needs sense data to form in the form of vibration for the arising of hearing consciousness to perceive. Hence is conditioned arising nature within the phenomenal world. So when you are mindful and aware, you can see the difference. The aware nature don't need sense data, and yet it can be aware. And the awareness nature is just that nature. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. And that is your meditative mind, your true mind. From the unconditioned, the first thing to manifest is that one, pure awareness. And this one, very few people understand. If you cannot understand, how can you use it to meditate? How can you realize it? That is the question. Okay? Okay, now we go on to part three. Meditation question. Question one. I often feel peace and calm during meditation. I also feel warm in my body. As I bow and chant, it increases the mindfulness in me. Thereafter, it prepares me for more effective sitting meditation. This Gayamita is quite good. If he can do that, he is quite good. Then I reply, as you meditate, the yin and yang energy can build up to cause heat and cold to arise within your body. Here at Wu Ping Jing Se, there is no air conditioning. So we need So we tend to feel warm, and sometimes we sweat too. Is the warmness uncomfortable? That is the question I posed. Then the reply said, no, it is quite soothing. Then it is okay. And you can just silence your mind and relax into it. And as long as your mind is affected by the heat, then you are at peace with it. Otherwise, your mind will be affected and cause you to react. For some who do samatha or one-pointedness, concentration or absorption type of meditation, they tend to have this heat problem because of their yin and yang imbalance. This is especially so for those who like to play with energy field to develop psychic powers. The maras too can come and delude them and disturb them. But if they know how to release the energy build up and come out to normal state of awareness, to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, to develop the wisdom as Sabba and Buddha, then they are all right. And they can also develop the enlightenment. So as long as you are not caught in the meditation to do samatha, concentration, or what we call energy field type of meditation, then you can still become enlightened. Then there is another point which I think I will add on to. He said, as I bow and chant, it increases the mindfulness in me. That one is very good. Because constant bowing, don't try to know. You bow and your body and mind move as one. Then you will know what sati is. Because all of a sudden, your form and mind will know that you are in that state of sati. That's why I say, when sati arise, you will know. That's why I just do. Bowing, walking, sitting, relax, silent, maintain awareness. Just do. Don't try to know. Then when the sati manifests, you will know. Then everything is like become different. Really. Every movement, every activity like magnify. Yeah. When mind enters sati, it's like that. It's so beautiful, so different. Thereafter, it prepares me for more effective sitting meditation, which is very true. You don't believe me, you try. Try to do your bowing 5-10 minutes before you sit. Now, after that, you sit. Very effective. Yeah. Or your daily mindfulness, you have done it. Then, the moment you sit, it becomes so different. Last time I do it a lot because during my early years training, I used to do my daily routine, daily mindfulness. Then I went to office. I no need to train. I just sleep. Immediately I'm in the meditative state. That's why I can meditate almost every day throughout the day. Even the career moment when I was doing my work. As an engineer. Then later I extend it to my meeting and all those things. Initially, of course, starting from our house, our home, you can do the daily religious routine. That is the beginning. And after that, when you move out of your house, again, you maintain mindfulness. So the first thing will be if you are driving a car, you will be able to be mindful of all the activity that you do on the car. Then you maintain alertness, attentiveness when you drive. You are aware, mindful. Then you realize your movement can be very smooth. Your awareness can be very smooth. Then like you can multitask. You can do things very fast. And yet you are fully aware. Then your driving become like very stable. You are not like those who make mistake anymore. Because it's like very difficult to make mistake. You are so skillful. Of course, that was when I was young. As you age, your physical body become different. Your response become different. So don't think you are still young. So you can find out on your own. I remember during the earlier, I was so skillful until all my action and movement is like a flow.
Yeah.
Everything is done with mindfulness awareness.
Mm.
And like the mind is so beautiful, fully aware and all the thing. But like old age, sickness and death, as you age, this form and mind become affected too. Then your consciousness inside, your awareness nature inside, but it can no longer command that body to do what it used to do. You understand? It's like you may be a very skillful football player or badminton player or whatever sport you are good at. As you age, you know you can no longer be the usual hero when you are young. Cannot, because the body cannot support you. That is the way of the physical body. It goes the way of nature. You will experience aging, disease, sickness, and all this. It will deteriorate. Yeah. But the awareness that is inside is still very beautiful. It's just like the skillful badminton player or football player. They may be maybe very skillful when they are at their prime. Could be world champion, everything. But as they age, the mind may have the skill, the understanding, but the physical body can't deliver anymore. Do you understand? Something like that. So you don't expect forever young, forever having that youthful body, able to perform. No. But the main thing that differentiates you from others is the wisdom, the understanding, born of the nature's direct seeing and awakening. And that wisdom is the one that makes the big difference. That you can accept the reality of this physical body growing old, getting sick, and finally separate. No problem. So understanding is the most important. Nothing else free the mind except wisdom. Okay? So this part, when you understand, you will know what to do. So develop daily mindfulness. Oh, I have to rush a bit. 3.2. Meditation question and sharing of the work by Byam Katty. This one also very good. You listen. Bertil, how about... Sorry, I asked... Or somebody asked me this question. Oh, sorry, I asked that person who asked that question. How about your daily mindfulness? Are you able to develop it? Then the reply... For a while only, because I get easily agitated and affected when confronted with difficult situations in daily life. Then the calmness and the daily mindfulness are all gone. So this Kayamita, I remember, is a male. He has not stabilized his daily mindfulness. That's why he can't maintain it for too long. And his initial wisdom not stable. That's why he gets easily agitated and affected when confronted with difficult situations. Yes, he is very fearful of problem, difficult situation. Then I replied, have your tendency born of wrong view to perceive certain situation with negativity is the cause. Because when he perceives that situation is problematic, difficult, then the fear, the worry, the insecurity, this will set in and break your daily mindfulness and will condition you into negativity or mind state. That's how he easily get agitated and affected. His daily mindfulness all like forgotten, gone. So if you are not careful, that habitual tendency is what you have developed. Then when you perceive things using your own way, which is your wrong thought, it will trigger all this problem. So I read again. have your tendency, born or wrong view, to perceive certain life situation with negativity. So in that case, it's perceived as a problem or difficult situation. It's the cause of his inability to maintain mindfulness, awareness. You lack right view, and you should reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into the. We are the second turning of the first noble truth. To develop the Chintamaya Panya, to overcome this problem of yours, you should inquire, why are you agitated or affected? How do this habitual tendency that caused you to react to such situation come about? Means trace the origination factor. You will finally come to understand that it is because of your certain expectation and preference born of your wrong view that conditioned you to think that way for so long already. Means it has become habitual. You are actually grasping. How come the word? You are actually grasping or clinging onto the wrong thought born of your conditioned memory. So grasping and clinging to your wrong thought born of conditioned memory, this is something you have to observe and see and awaken. This is what daily mindfulness is all about. When you are mindful, aware, you can see all this. Because when you attach and cling to your wrong thought, born of your conditioned memory, it becomes habitual. You become the way you are. Seeing this clearly with pure awareness will enable you to straighten your view. We are silencing your mind to develop the wisdom and right understanding needed to free your mind. So why you cling? Why you grasp? If because of your wrong view, you perceive it with negativity. You perceive it as difficult. That condition, your insecurity, your fear, your worry, then your mindfulness is gone. So see this, then understand that you need the spiritual faculty developed. You need to straighten your view so that there is no more wrong view to perceive things negatively with unwholesomeness. So all this will help you develop the understanding. I will read on. You can also inquire to free via applying the work. This one I will describe to you briefly first. As taught by Bhayan Kreti, to free. The work is a simple yet powerful process of inquiry that teaches you to identify and question the thought that caused all the suffering in this world. It is a practical way to understand what's hurting you and to address the cause of your suffering or problem with clarity. The work, as taught by Bhayan Kreti, consists of four lines of questioning or inquiry to develop the wisdom to free, and they are: question the wrong thought that conditions you to react habitually. What the thought is telling you, is it true? Especially when you dislike somebody, or when you perceive your spouse with certain habitual tendency or negativity, especially spouse that don't have trust or faith in each other, then the thought will tell you, you start to suspect your spouse. This guy is up to no good. I think he's having an affair outside. When you wash the clothes, you found certain thing that is to your mind. Maybe he's trying to cheat on you. So you straight away come to conclusion and perceive negativity. Then what happened? When you question the thought, is that true? Is it true? You will definitely say, yeah, it's true. Otherwise, how can there be all this thing on the clothes and all those things? Then sometimes you check on the phone. Nowadays, the handphone, they got various type of name. So sometimes you are not careful, you think you're very smart. The one that you least suspect is the possible one. But the one that you expect is always turn out to be the wrong one. Where they still put you as honey. And all those things. Then the second inquiry is asking the second time, can you absolutely know that it is the truth? Then the third question is the turnaround. How do you feel or react or what happened when you believe that thought? Take the example just now I give you. You will react to it in a where you suspect your spouse. Then what happened? There will be anger, envy, jealousy, hatred. And all these are evil root. So how will you feel or react or what will happen to you when you believe that thought, which is a wrong thought? You are afflicted, isn't it? Hence it's a wrong thought. And you should arise the right effort to abandon it instead of believing it and clinging onto it to condition your suffering and misery, isn't it? Your envy, jealousy, hatred, and it makes you fearful, insecure. And the thought project, what happened if he no longer loved me? Then you start to worry. Is it maybe the third party, the Xiao San, is younger, more pretty, more attractive. So all this thought going on make you insecure. Then you develop that anger, the accumulation of all this hate, envy, jealousy. Then these things start to form cocoon of thought. That's how you enter depression. Insecurity, fearful, scars of memory, everything develop, accumulate, and you have severe depression problem. Then the fourth question is, who would you be without this wrong thought? Very easy, if you have not perceived it that way or think of that wrong thought, you will be peaceful and at ease, isn't it? With this clarity of mind and non-reaction, then we can act following Noble Eightfold Path to resolve whatever issue amicably without having to resort to any negativity or action, speech and thought, thereby leading to the end of all suffering. Then you will perceive life differently and you will know how to truly live life to experience all of its beauties and wonders. The pure awareness with wisdom within is so beautiful and you can experience all of the nature's pristine purity and beauty. When I was in New Zealand, I can feel that the nature there is so pure and so different because there is very little human consciousness to pollute it. Even the food I ate makes my body feel so good. Really, I can feel it. Big difference. My digestion, everything was so good. So I have that feeling if I stay there longer, I will have more healthy life. But the air also more healthy, fresher. So that time, I think I was there for about 10 days. I visited, first time I went to New Zealand to visit my last teacher that time. Stay at the house. That time was really one of the best trip I ever had. So all this, you will come to develop the understanding and the experience. Oh, this Bayan Kathy, you want to finish? I think now my later on, there's another section which is more clear. I remember later we will go through. We have tonight, we don't have much time. Okay, 3.3. How do you perceive opening chakra via Qigong practices? So my response is very simple. When you use your thought to open your chakra, you have to be careful because the thought created by the unenlightened being still has delusion. So it can bring about yin yang imbalance, means duality. It can also mean tempering, because wherever you focus and concentrate your mind, the thought energy will build up there. You don't believe me, you go and try. It is advisable to develop only the relaxation and mindfulness training to exercise your body while doing the Qigong practices. Means you flow, accord and flow. Do not resist. Develop the mindfulness, then no problem. Yeah. But if it's for health purposes, you want to store the energy at the Tan Tien, it's up to you. That one is for health purpose. But don't use it to develop psychic energy and all this thing. It can also mean tempering, because whenever you focus and concentrate on mind, the thought energy will build up there. It's advisable to develop only the relaxation and mindfulness training to exercise your body while doing the Qigong practices. Not to focus and store your thought energy at the Tan Tien unless the intention is to develop the Qi for health purpose. See? If it's for health, no harm. Eh? Do not use it to develop the psychic field or energy field. There is a safer and more genuine way to open the chakra via developing the wisdom first. Then when the mind can cease via wisdom, one can make use of it to develop the 10 perfection to walk the Bodhisattva way to realize Buddhahood. Developing the loving kindness, compassion and wisdom, and then stay at the heart area and silence one's mind to detect the gateway to our nature. This gateway will melt all of our life force and mental or pure awareness energy into our nature to become pure neutral energy, which is no more the yin and yang type. This is the pure energy that can really open up the chakra internally and naturally via trust. That is, without the interference of any thought. So this is the fourth support that I described under the fourth support, trust. Trust that nature to do, no more thought to interfere. Okay, we finish. Yeah? So we shall end. Good. Exactly 10:19. Okay. So we will stop the sharing. Then afterwards, we will open up for meditation reporting or Q&A. Hello. Yes. Yeah, we can hear you.
This is the first time I use the Zoom. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Good, good. Yeah. Nice to hear from you. Fauzheng, you're from Singapore, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Hello, Brother Teo. Thank you, yes. Brother Teo, for all your help. I'm really, 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 truly blessed for all the Buddha's teaching that you taught us. I just want to share some of the things that I experience.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead. Actually, I started cultivating very hard prior to the Cameron retreat, which is supposed to be in March. But because of the COVID, we have to cancel it.
Yeah,
so I started reading the book, the Heart Sutra book.
Oh, Sadhu.
Many times, actually, many times.
Oh, Sadhu, no wonder you can understand after that. Yeah,
many times. And then, in fact, a lot of things I don't understand, you know, Bharatiya. But some of the things I understand, but now I think if I read again, I will understand more.
Totally different. Yeah, you have.
Yes, it will be totally different. I remember when I read it in 2017, I know maybe 10% of it.
Yeah.
You know? And then over time, it gets better and better.
Correct. That's what it all means. I say, whoever who can understand 10% of what I wrote there, not bad already. Very few. Yeah.
Marathio, thank you very much. It's my sincere kan'en, you know, from the teaching. Okay,
you should thank your sister also, Han, where he brought you to me.
Yes.
She really wants to help you at that time.
Yes, correct. Yes, 感恩 to everybody actually that helped me. In fact, also sister Yun Chun also.
Yeah, Yun Chun. Yes, she very helpful. Yes.
Yes, very helpful. Showing me around, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So this yes. So didn't go to the retreat, and then but because of this COVID, right? So I follow everything that Brother Teo taught, you know. All the good advice, you know, having the routine, daily spiritual routine, and then the five daily contemplation. I do it every day without fail, you know.
Yeah, sadhu, very good.
Yes, thank you. Then comes this COVID-19, right?
Yeah.
So, Brother, for whatever reason, I think of mortality every day, you know.
Oh, yes.
So every breath I breathe in and out, I think of mortality, you know.
Wow, sadhu.
This COVID-19 is very scary. I say, life is uncertain, death is certain. But then even death is certain, I do not know how and when. It was also uncertain. Yeah. So because of that, I go all out to, you know, learn and cultivate the mindfulness every day. The urgency is so strong.
Yeah,
I'm so diligent. I'm so diligent, brother.
Yeah,
so by saying all this, I hope the rest of the Dharma brothers and sisters,
they will also wake up and
all have to wake up. Somehow I wake up, you know, I wake up during this COVID-19, so it's a blessing in disguise. I woke up. So coming to my meditation, brother, follow your advice. I do every morning. I wake up, I do. And then I cultivate mindfulness in a day. And then after that, in between, if I have time, I also will do meditate. So this meditate can be sending meditation as I do my shopping.
Yes,
as I do my shopping.
Progress so fast. So you did all this.
So as I buy fruits, I say, I silence my mind and do the picking of the fruits. It's so different.
So different. The awareness is there. Your thought is not disturbing you.
Yes, exactly.
You are not choosing. But now you see very clear.
Very clear. And then you're so joyful doing it.
So joyful, yes. So happy.
Yes. Yeah, so light and happy, and you finish your task very fast.
Correct.
Even all the housework I do, especially
very
those very very difficult one, that you dislike one, you do with a silent
very
mind.
Efficient,
very happy and very light and yes.
I explained to you, you will know also. Because last time you carry with you a lot of worry, a lot of burden of thinking. So a lot of this heedless thinking, wrong thought, they actually make you heedless and you are not peaceful, not aware. When you are peaceful and aware and heedful, you are very efficient. That's why my office work or whatever I do, I can do it very efficient. Everywhere I go, after I put in my resignation letter, my bosses they told me, some need 7 engineers to take over what I do, some need 10, including himself. Because that place, really, they call it a madhouse. You need 10 engineers there also, cannot finish the work one. But alone, I did it. Because you become very efficient. You become very different. Like you mentioned just now, which is very good. There is clarity. Yes. And everything is like so light, so happy, so beautiful. That's why go and buy fruits also become so different. Because you decide to be aware while you choose. And this one is not acting out it, because you do your daily religious routine, then your spiritual faculty develops. And the other thing that helps you is the contemplation on death, marana nusati. You actually doing that without you realizing it, but it is powerful. That one will give you the urgency. Like you say, life is uncertain. Death is uncertain.
Life.
Anytime it can happen, because karma you cannot really predict or say anything unless you have already become great beings, true cultivator. Then you know you will have that window of time to cultivate. But for normal people, you cannot say it can happen anytime. That's why death is certain. Life is uncertain. So Maranusati is the daily by contemplation and contemplation on death. The Buddha actually advised the monk at that time to do so that you have the urgency. Because this body is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and finally die one day. So while you are still young, while it can still serve you, you better make use of it before it's too old, too sick, and too fragile to actually help you or bring about the condition for you to cultivate and to meditate. So this urgency can bring forth the faith, and you will go all out to do it. And the good thing is, the blessing in disguise because of the MCO and your good karmic conditioning means the time has come, the condition has matured, and it has reached the point of, we call it ripening of condition. That's how you will be able to go and read the Heart Sutta again. And you are the very few that really read the Heart Sutta many times. People like Song also, he has read until he's like an encyclopedia. That's why he keep on telling a lot of Kayamita. Whatever you want to know, you go to the Heart Sutta. They are all there. It's very beautiful. Even this sister Alicia, they know also, and many Kayamita, they know the Heart Sutta is very, very complete, comprehensive. Even Sister Lee, they know, and we, they all know. So, yeah. So go back to the Heart Sutta. Whatever you don't understand, read, like what you have done, Song has done. Read it many times. Because unless you go into the meditation, unless you do the reflection, the contemplation, and the cultivation, all the Dhamma inside there, it can never surface until you have done the cultivation, the reflection, the contemplation. Then you just be simple, follow instruction. Don't try to use your knowledge and all those things. Read slowly. Develop a clear understanding. Then reflect, contemplate, then understand, then only do. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. So you have actually done well. My nature rejoices.
Brother, I also want to share about the meditation that I do. So because of this, right? So my meditation, I just follow the four support.
Yeah.
So relax and then awareness.
Yeah.
So I able to go into this silent mind, you know, this pure awareness.
Yeah.
In a very short time.
Yes.
Yes. Within like half hour, I'm into the awareness, you know, the pure awareness.
Correct.
And then
very good.
And then. So many times, you know. So after that, I the one time that I had this sitting, it was really awakening. Let me explain what happened. Okay. So I was in this meditation, just relax and then aware within awareness, and then I can feel that. The pure awareness arise like a shift of your mentioning.
Shift right? Of consciousness. Shift, yes.
Like you drop into something like that, no?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You fell into this pure awareness,
right.
Something.
Yes.
Like
the suddenly mind, the mind like become very quiet, very still.
Yes, yes. You fell into this stillness.
Yeah.
Stillness and calmness and tranquil mind, right?
Tranquil
so
mind.
So you can. The awareness is so sharp, so clear. You can see the breathing in and out. The arising and falling, arising
correct.
And falling.
Yes.
Is so sharp.
Yeah,
so sharp,
everything
so sharp.
Become very clear.
Yes. Then after that, it dropped automatically into the heart, you know.
Yes, sadhu. Stay
then,
there.
Yes, then it has the heartbeat. Pop.
Yes.
But after that, the amazing thing happened. The heart, for whatever reason, it opened up into a tunnel, you know.
Wow, sadhu.
Yes.
Then the energy
into a tunnel.
Will go in.
Yes, yes, and then you feel very soothing, very soothing, very soothing.
Yeah, that is the gateway, sadhu to you.
So you're very soothing, and then you just continue, you know, until
correct.
It goes away, you know.
Yes, until like you completely without thought.
Yes, yes, it's all the time thought. No thought, Brother Teo, all the time no thought, no mental hindrance. So it just disappear, and then after that, it just very, very quiet and still, and then aware, and then suddenly, your tactile, you can feel your tactile, you know.
Yeah, very clear.
Very clear, and then arise and pass away, you know.
Ah, sadhu.
So after that, that is like awareness, nothing else, no thought, no mental hindrance.
Just the awareness nature, sadhu. Yeah. Wow, beautiful.
So, so it was so amazing.
Yeah, then later on, you will realize that thing that flow in like a tunnel and all those things, it will melt inside there one. Actually, it's very soothing, like you described.
Yeah, it opened up.
It become pure energy. Pure energy. Then you know what happened or not? After that, it will heal you.
Oh, heal me.
Okay. Ah, whatever problem you have in your physical body during this period, it will start to heal. Then you will experience that perfect health in you. Like your body is completely different. That pure energy will heal everything. So you just trust. Trust is very important. You listen. Trust means no interference from the thought. You don't even try to be curious, understand?
Yes.
You just let it do. Then sometimes it can be like it will move to the place where it need to activate that so-called chakra or whatever. Don't worry about the word. You will know one. Then the byproduct is gas. And the gas, no smell one, don't worry. Then you fart a lot later on, which is very good. Sadhu.
So actually, all this happened naturally. I did nothing, you know. I just aware throughout, you know.
Correct. Yeah, well, your awareness nature has developed until that stability. That's why you can do it. Wow,
it was so stable. The sati is like so stable all the way. Just no thought, no mental hindrance. Just aware. But until all finish.
Yes, people can't even have 1 minute or a few seconds of no thought. You can do the whole session.
It was more than 1 hour session.
Yes.
No thought throughout, you know.
Yes. Later on, you can go for a few hours if you want to.
Okay.
But don't worry. Just relax and maintain awareness.
So it's just everything done auto, you know.
Yeah, auto, and you will understand many things on your own.
Yes.
That's why now you read the Heart Sutta again, you will become very different, very, very different.
Yeah. And then very funny thing is when I silence my mind, I can see what is going on, you know.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
I can see what happened in the meditation also.
Yes, everything. Huh? Later
you
go into your sleep.
Yeah. When I sleep also, I'm meditating, you know, brother.
Yeah. Wow, Sadhu, you can do that. Very good. Yeah.
All these things happen in the past weeks, you know.
Oh, sadhu to you.
So it's really amazing, you know.
Yeah, very amazing. Oh, sadhu.
Yeah, I also cannot believe it, you know.
Yeah, because you have your past.
I really can earn very grateful, grateful to you for all the teaching, you know. Really amazing,
really,
you know.
Did it very well, I think.
So it's a blessing in disguise, that I didn't go anywhere, just stay at home, do all these things, you know.
Meant to be, I think you will progress very, very fast.
It all happens without me knowing, you know, Brother Teo.
Yeah, without you knowing one. That's why I say no need to know.
No need to know.
Understanding will come by itself.
Yes.
No wonder you can describe the thing earlier on when you send to me the text.
Yes. I also very amazed by all this, you know.
Yeah.
So I really have no words to say my gratitude to
it's
you.
It's beyond words. You will feel it deep inside your nature.
Yes. It's really beyond thought, beyond mind. You know?
Yeah, beyond thought, beyond mind, completely. That's why to realize that nature so deeply and so profoundly is not easy.
Yes, it is so sharp awareness that you cannot believe.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And then outside of meditation, I can also, in the silent mind, can recall, can see all these things without words, you know.
Correct, without
words. Understand it. Oh. And understand it.
Yes, sadhu. Wow. You're very well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing. Oh, sadhu. Let us rejoice.
Yes.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
Very good, very good. This is the best gift to my nature.
Yes, thank you, Brother Teo. Yes, that's what I want to share with you. Because this is really a gift returning to you for your teaching, you know. And the patience, and sometimes I don't mind you telling us off sometimes, like, you know, pushing us, you know, to wake us up. It really help, you know, really help, kick us, you know, kick us really hard. Yeah, it helps me, you know. I'm not the type that worry about this. So, Brother Teo, Kan En.
Yeah, Kan En.
And Mrs. Teo also for taking care of Brother Teo, you know. And also all Khayamitas in doing this video conferencing, I get to share and participate. Thank you very much.
Sadhu.
Yes. So, I like to continue this path and... I hope Brother Teo can teach me more.
No. You will progress very fast. After this, you can understand very fast.
A lot of things just happen without me knowing, you know.
Yeah, you even move faster than what Kai Wen has done, Chong. I thought Chong already quite exceptional, but you move even faster. Because nature, the timing has come. You have in the past.
Brother Teo, I was very, very diligent, you know.
Yeah.
I want to live in vain and then without doing anything, and Brother Teo is here, so that's why it pushed me very hard.
So you make full use of that window and you are able to do it. Your contemplation on death, Marana Anusati, also helped. Then you follow exactly what I advise you.
Yes. Without fail, I follow your advice.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, like Brother Teo always tell us, you know, our mind is so quick. Yes, I can see my mind now so quick, and then I can stop the mind from doing a lot of bad things, you know.
Correct. Yeah. You can be at the moment of perception, feeling. It just sits there. Huh?
Yeah. It stopped there. Cannot move. Cannot move, you know.
That's why all this, unless you do... You can never understand.
Yes. Last time we don't understand what you're talking.
You can stay there.
Now I fully understand.
Actually, without sound, without word, it will stay there. Feeling. Yes. Your feeling.
Yes. And you also know what caused it.
Everything you can know.
Yes. Well, but very scary, huh? So the conditioning that you have is so bad, huh?
Yes. Now you start to see that.
Yes.
You start to understand that.
Yes.
A lot of deluded, heedless living beings never see that. That's why they don't understand. They don't know how heedless and deluded they are.
Yes, correct.
So miserable.
Yes.
How they suffer without understanding. That's why now with this awareness, you can see so clearly, understand so clearly. That's the reason why my nature, when it manifests to share, the compassion, the love, the understanding keep on pouring out, because that is what Maitreya wanted me to share with the world. And you are the first one that went so far, Sadhu Deo.
Thank you, Brother Teo. I think if everybody put in effort, they can do it, because if I can do it, everybody can do it.
What you say is very true. It's not something impossible. That you are like any normal cultivator. In fact, you came later. You came 2017.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's...
Thank you so much for your sharing. It will give a lot of confidence and faith to Khayamita.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Teo.
Thank you. Yeah, Sadhu. Rejoice. Sadhu. Let us rejoice again. Sadhu.
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 Okay.
Sadhu.
We have to end. Thank you so much
yes.
For checking out. Thank you.
Yes.